Sound good? Okay.
Yep, got it.
Yeah, I usually get pretty nervous whenever I speak. And I kind of try to say that because it takes the air out of it a little bit when I kind of acknowledge it. But it's interesting because I talk on the radio for a living. So you would think that eventually I'd not be nervous. But whenever you do something like this, it's a little bit different. Being able to come up and be more intimate and get into deeper details is scary. It's something I don't really want to do, but I like to do it because I like to be of service, and that's kind of how I was taught in AA. It's to be of service, and if you can do it, say yes, and that's what I really try to do. So yeah, because it's just get really nervous. Like I've stood up on like a stage in front of like thousands of people, pretty nervous. But yeah, speaking to others about my experience with alcoholism, it's a whole nother deal for me. But I am grateful to be a service, and grateful to be here, and really appreciate it. And so yeah, for me, alcoholism like really runs deep in my family. Alcoholism, addiction, mental health issues, it's all there. And so I can remember from an early age, just my dad had a problem with drinking. And so I do remember like him being passed out a lot. And me and my brother would be at school. He was supposed to pick us up, didn't make it, things like that. And it was tough. I had and then my mom, she's definitely has her own stuff. She's not an alcoholic, but she definitely is attracted to alcoholics, apparently. So yeah, but so anyways, yeah, that's I do remember that a lot with my dad. Was we would go with him to he would take us to go to the baseball card shop to get some baseball cards, and then across the street was the bar. So then we'd go over there and be waiting in the car for a few hours while he drank. And I do remember not feeling like that was like totally normal, but I was just more like, I'm just like really bored. It's been, but I couldn't really tell time at the time. I was very young. So it was just like, but that's the kind of stuff I remember. And eventually that did have, it took its toll on the family enough to where my mom eventually did leave them. And that was kind of my first like venture into, kind of not being happy. And so that was I can remember that's kind of where my issues started. I was very like rebellious, and I remember my mom tried to take me and my brother to like therapy, and for like couples that were divorcing and the kids. And I can remember not I was just like, yeah, I'm just not gonna talk. Like this is not a thing. Like I'm not even gonna do this. So that was kind of my mindset. Like I just didn't want to be told what to do. I didn't want, I took it as something was wrong with me. And there definitely was a lot wrong with me. But I just wasn't really, I didn't really think that way. I was like, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't care that they split up. I'm good. That's always how I thought throughout my whole life. Like I'm good. Like I don't need you. I don't need your help. I'm good. So that's kind of where that started. And so, my mom tried that and it didn't work. And that was kind of the basic thing with like my mom is like she would try things and she would try really hard and it just wouldn't work. And so she would just kind of have to move on from that. So that's I do really feel, not as much guilty now, but I did definitely felt really guilty about that when I first got sober. A lot of my sobriety has been trying to make amends for that kind of stuff, because I definitely put her through a lot. And so that was a big thing. But anyways, my parents split, and we just moved, from from San Leandro to Antioch. So it was a little small move, and moving to a different school. And that's kind of where my drinking really did take off. But my relationship with my dad as well was always kind of strange, because he always tried to be like my friend because he was an alcoholic himself and he drank and he smoked weed and all that stuff. So he would kind of try to be like a friend, but then also kind of like try to put his foot down when I was, you know, doing too much, but it doesn't work like that, you know? So I can remember like, yeah, smoking weed with my dad, you know, I think my first time smoking was with him and drinking with him. And then, you know, he would like piss me off and then I go like take his beers, you know, and go get drunk. And, you know, that was really early on, you know, I don't know if, you know, 13, 14, 12, somewhere in that range, you know, I'd be stealing packs of cigarettes from my stepdad and I didn't even really know how to smoke or, you know, what to do, but I just know that I always had that, just that anger inside me and that rebelliousness and just always wanted to just get out of my head, you know, and that was really big for me. But yeah, anyways, we moved to Antioch and I was kind of just trying to learn how to, it's hard, you know, cause you don't have your dad there. And even when he was there, he, you know, it's, you don't really, you're not learning the right things. So, you know, I really didn't know, my mom did her best, but I really didn't know, you know, how to, I never really was taught those things, how to be an adult, how to be a man and that kind of stuff. So I really just started meeting friends at school and that's kind of who I hung out with. And when I started meeting those friends, that's really kind of where I started trying to find where I fit in. And I think there is something too, when you have like issues, you just find the other kids with issues or that you find other people with kind of the same things you have going on. And that's really what happened to me. I found people with similar issues and it's almost like a 12-step meetings just in the wrong way. You know, you find like-minded people that are trying to do better for themselves. But, you know, when you're younger and you're messing up, you're finding other people that are messing up. And so that's definitely, you know, where it started. And anyways, yeah, that's where I started. I started going to school and kind of, I had already been messing up in school. Like I was definitely, I don't ever know what I was thinking. Because I don't know. I just never wanted to do anything, I guess. I would go to school and just cause I was supposed to. And then I just shove all my homework in my backpack and just never look at it again. So, and that was set me up for a lot of, success later on. So when I got to like middle school, yeah, I started having real big issues and, started meeting the friends that I was going to be partying with for many years to come. And I could just remember like sixth, seventh grade, I had a friend who was kind of just, he was just like leaving school early. And he was like, just walk. And I was like, man, you can just like leave. And he was like, yeah, man, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm just not going to, you know, the last period. And I'm like, cool, I'm coming with you. So that's, I started skipping school and, you know, my drinking career started taking off and using other stuff. Cause of course I was like, you know, 13, 14 in that range. So it's not always super easy to get alcohol. So I'd be using all kinds of stuff, anything I get my hands on. And that was always my situation too. Like I would always be like, not really, you know, I'd be like, yeah, I'll never do that though. Like I'm doing this stuff, but I'll never do that. And then, you know, eventually I'd eventually do it because it was just with me and using and drinking, like I could never get enough. And at the beginning it was enough. But then it's not. And then you just need to do more. Like even with the drinking, you get to a point where it's like, now you're like popping pills, you know, stealing pills and popping those because you're just like, I need to get there. And it's like the, you know, stuff stops working. And so even from early on, I remember that. And yeah. So anyways, I started skipping school and that was kind of, you know, it was, I always pretended like I was trying a little bit, but not really. And yeah, so I started skipping school and then, but I was still kind of going at that time. And then I had some issues with like a kid in my neighborhood that was going to the same school. And, I had some kids with issues with this kid and he was in my class and somebody else like slapped him or something like that. Like, so it's hard to explain, I guess. Yeah, we didn't like this kid, and then I had my friend in the class, and he had like some lotion in his backpack, and he was like, "Hey, he's like, oh, you have a problem. I don't know why I even did it. I didn't know the kid that well." And he was like, "Oh, you have a problem with this kid?" And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, I don't really like him that much." And so the my friend, I guess, kind of took it upon himself to like put some lotion on his hand and then like slap him, and it was like this whole thing. And so I got called into the principal's office, and they were like, "Hey, so you slapped this kid?" And I'm like, "Dude, I didn't slap him. That wasn't me." And they were like, "Oh, well, yeah, he said he got slapped with some lotion or something." This is the weirdest story ever. So I think that's why it's hard to tell. So this was like eighth grade. And yeah, so like I got called in the office and they're like, "Okay, yeah, well, he said you slapped him with some lotion or something." And I knew I didn't do it. I was like, "No, nah, I didn't check my backpack. Like, I'm good, And they did check my backpack and I had a cap gun in there. So, and I kind of forgot about that. And yeah, this is a long story getting to where I got to get, but yeah, but they found that cap gun. And I think this was around the time when there was a lot of like shootings were starting to happen at schools and stuff like that. And so, yeah, the principal was like, "Yeah, I think you're going to be okay, but let me check." It was like a big deal. And so, yeah, he came back and he's like, "Yeah, you're not okay." And so I actually got expelled for that. So that was kind of like, not blaming that situation because I was definitely had a big part in it and definitely in the wrong for most of the things I did. And but it was just all things that just kind of like funneled me through, Like I don't believe I ever had a like I always think I'm like I know I would have ended up where I ended up anyways somehow. But these are just kind of the things that kind of funneled me there. And yeah, so I got so I actually got expelled, which was kind of crazy for me, I thought. And then yeah, and then I tried to do some continuation schools and things like that, but I just never really it all just stemmed back to like my drinking and using. I just couldn't, it was almost like the expel like being expelled was like a good thing for me. And then I was like, okay, now I can go to like, I went to like a continuation school that was like super like easy. And it was crazy because I couldn't even, like these, like some of the continuation schools, at least back then, it was like literally all you had to do was like go put your name on a piece of paper and you could like, you were going to pass. And I couldn't even do that, because I just couldn't even go. And yeah, I remember having my mom. I was like, just even at a young age, I just remember like having all those schemes. Like, okay, I heard of this school that you like do your homework at the house. Like, you go to one class, then you bring all your homework home and you do it at home and you bring it back in. Like, maybe I could do that. And so my mom got me into that and I couldn't do it. I just never did the work. So, I don't know. Clearly, I was like lying to myself and everybody else at a super young age. But yeah, and it was all the same problem. It was all like my addiction and alcoholism. That's mainly what it was. I just remember, one of my first times that I can remember just getting really like wasted was with some older friends. Like, that was always my issue too. I always hung out with like older kids and they had some kind of bourbon that they like stole from like their grandpa or something. It was like old granddad's bourbon or something. Like, I don't know what name it was. It was like a weird name. And then yeah, they were like all passing it around. And then they were like, "Dude, this is disgusting." And then they like pass it to me and I'm like, I'm like, "Yeah, I'll just kill it, it's fine." So that was the end. And I remember just getting so like wasted, and it was like one day of just like a bunch of stuff happening in one day of like running into the cops, like, because we went outside. Well, I puked all over my friend's shoes because I was trying to puke out the window. Then like I went out in the front yard and like I had puke all over me. So they're like, they were like really good friends and they were like nice enough to hose me down. And like while we're out there, I'm like falling over, like the cops pull up and start talking to me. And I couldn't even remember my last name. And they were like asking me. And so it was a crazy situation. Somehow I got out of it. I don't know how. And I ended up like back at my house and I'm like woke up and just like yeah, that was awesome. Great time. And that's how I really thought. So it was just downhill from there for the most part. And
Yeah, like my alcoholism and addiction, it just took me to some scary places. You know, I would end up in like Pittsburgh and like, you know, some pretty rough areas. I remember one time, like my mom was like coming to pick me up in some area, and the cop actually like pulled her over to be like, "Hey, like you shouldn't be here," you know. And so like those are the kind of areas I was in, like where, you know, she was like, "Yeah, Alex, you know, I can't pick you up there anymore. Like cops are like stopping me for doing nothing." So there was situations like that. But yeah, man, I just remember just yeah, the worst spots. I don't even know if I like if I you know, I would end up, I remember this one time I ended up in like this guy's house. It was his grandma's house, but he like lived in a tent in the backyard, and he was had this like little poker, like electronic poker game that he was playing. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, you just get put in those situations. You're in a tent in a backyard and you're just like, man, how did I get here? And then you continue to drink and use, and it's like, you know, you just, I don't know. It's just when you're in when you're in that spot, there, no matter where you're at, it's, you're gonna tell yourself whatever you can to just keep doing it. It's just, it's all about getting out of your head and getting out of that anxiety and that fear. And just really for me, it was all about just getting just really just getting obliterated. Like I just didn't, I wanted to be gone to the point where I couldn't even think. And that was kind of my goal at that point every time when I, as I started getting closer to recovery. And so I don't know how much time I got. I don't want to go over too much. 15 minutes. Okay. So that's really how my drinking was. And yeah, I think that was one of the just, I think the biggest thing for me, like I was talking about earlier, is just like my relationship with my mom. Like that was like really the hardest, like putting my mom through all that stuff of like, I would just be gone, you know, like, and, you know, she wouldn't know where I was at. And I'd be gone for like months and then just come back and try to pretend everything was cool. And I don't really, we never got into those conversations. Like I've just tried my hardest to like make my amends to her. And in any way I can, you know, verbal, you know, and also living. But you know, I'm sure it was took a pretty big toll on her, because I do know when I do get sober that I could feel that she was like, she could take a breath, you know. She didn't have to worry about me. She's got a lot to worry about, you know, and my younger brothers as well. You know, I wasn't just an only child, so I have younger brothers that she had to worry about too. So me being one of those things she didn't have to stress about was, I know, a big load off of her. But you know, my relationships were just like crazy in sobriety. I mean, in my drinking, you know, I had you know, just you find broken people, you know, this it's just you're broken, and then you find somebody that's broken, and it's like a terrible situation. Like I remember, you know, I did not have a lot of relationships in when I was drinking, but I remember one was like, yeah, it was this lady who just got done like breaking up with her like boyfriend, who was like the father of her kid, and it was like still like a little baby. And like I was like an alcoholic, like living in my mom's house, and like we had, you know, like there's like a baby there, and I'm like, man, what am I doing? You know, I look at those times and I'm like, man, that was crazy. So those are the kind of situations I would like get into. And you know, just I don't know, it's just crazy. Yeah, it's just crazy. But anyways, I'm gonna try to get more towards some sobriety. But yeah, so anyways, it was crazy, crazy times there. And I did have like my bottom was not like the craziest bottom. I think like I started getting to the point where like I actually like, so my room, I was still living in my mom's. That was like one of the biggest problems. I was like 23, 22, still living with my mom, doing nothing. I was super depressed. And you know, one of those moments I had was like my room was just beer cans everywhere. So, and then I had like a bed. It was like this single, like small bed on like these boards. Like it was just the most depressing situation. And then like I had, there was actually like rat, like mice living in my room. And so, yeah, it was so disgusting. And you know, they were like my only friends, but at that time. But you know, it was just, it was like around that time I kind of just started to realize like, I got to do something, you know? And I was, and that, the lady that I was with kind of left me at the time. And, you know, I was like, man, you know, if I keep drinking, you know, with the person, with the lady I was with, it was like, I kind of had an idea of like, okay, that is what you're kind of, it was a bad situation, but it was one that somebody actually wanted to be with me and hang out with me. And I didn't think that I had much to offer. And so just having a little taste of, you know, being with somebody and, you know, trying to, you know, being in some relationship, wasn't a great one, but some type of relationship, it was enough for me to kind of look at my situation and be like, I don't really want this. I didn't want to get sober. That wasn't my plan. But with sobriety, I don't think for the most part from a lot of people I talk to, it's, you don't really go and, you know, you're not really like, oh, I'm going to get sober today. It's kind of a gradual thing. And that's what it was for me. I kind of was just talking to my mom and I'm like, look, I'm crazy and I need some help. You know, like I'm wondering, you know, can, you know, I would like to see like a therapist or a psychiatrist. Maybe they can get me on like medication to like make me right, to help me, because I just didn't know what to do. And so my mom was like super excited that I was willing to, you know, do anything. She was probably like, I mean, all the years of her trying to get me help, and like one day I just walked downstairs and I'm like, yeah, I need help. And so she was like, yeah, she called Kaiser and got me, you know, to, in there to see a therapist. And then, I go to see this like psychiatrist and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm pretty like, actually, you know what, but before I could even see him, they gave me like this form. And on the form, like one of the questions was like, how much do you drink per day or something like that? It was a total trick question. And I fell for it. Because even if you put one beer per day, I feel they're probably gonna be like, yeah, dude, you're drinking every day though. So, but I tried to minimize it. I was like, yeah, I drink like, you know, like what, 240 ounces a day. So probably like 80 ounces. And then, yeah, I turned it in. And then like, I went to see the psychiatrist and he was like, yeah, like, I can't really help you. Like if you're drinking like this, and I didn't think it was that much, but, he was like, so they referred me to like a program there. And I went to the intake for like, yeah, for like a program, a chemical dependency program there. And I don't know why I went back. You know, the lady was really nice, but I just did not have any goal of being sober. Like I could not imagine that. That was just something that was kind of like, I just couldn't even think of that. But for some reason I did kind of there, this, you know, people in those programs are good at like talking to you just to, hey, yeah, no, just check out the first one, you know, just come back. And that's kind of how it started. So I went and checked out the first little group and it was good. I kind of was like, okay, this is something, we'll give it a shot. And I still don't even know what I was thinking at the time. Sometimes like, I can't really tell, like, it's just one of those things where I guess I was just lucky enough, like higher power, just lucky enough to be, I guess, open enough to trying it, because I never thought, you know, in that moment that I was really going to try to get sober. It was just something like, you know, I just have no other option, so we'll try this, I guess. And I stayed sober a couple months, and that was kind of my big like awakening, was I stayed sober for a couple of months doing no meetings, no 12 step, relapsed, got a DUI, blew a 2.9. And yeah, I was pretty up there, and I just like, you know, continue to drink. The judge, when I went to court, was like, yeah, like you can't drink. And I remember they were like, yeah, they were like, she was like, the judge was just like, yeah, you have to, she was like, you blew so high, like, I can't give you anything less than like whatever the maximum I could give you is, which it wasn't a ton, but it was like, I had to go to like, I was like the guy in the DUI class that had like the second most, like longest term there in DUI class. And like the first guy had two DUIs. I was like the only person with the one DUI that got like a good amount of time. And, yeah, I mean, it was just like, it was crazy. And yeah, it just got bad again. I went back out. I just thought like, if I just shake it off, you know, go get sober, get the alcohol out of my system, start drinking, that maybe I could do it normally. But the problem with me is the drinking normally is not, it's not a beer. It's drinking normally is like, can I get wasted 3 times a week instead of every day? Like that's kind of normal for me. And after that, it got bad again. I got really depressed, anxiety, fears started you just get to the point. I know my sponsor talks about it a lot of just, you know, getting to that point where you're drinking and you can still hear the voices and you can still, it's, you're drinking and nothing, it doesn't go away and your brain is still working and, it doesn't work. The alcohol didn't work anymore. So I made an effort to really give it a shot. And, on the second time, and I remember I went back to the treatment program and I remember them talking about AA. So I was like, okay, you know, this is my time. I'm actually going to try. So I got to go check out this AA thing. And I met, you know, I had a friend in the, group and, we went to a meeting and, our first meeting was, Spanish speaking. So, and I don't speak Spanish. So we actually went in and I seen like all the AA stuff and it was all in Spanish. And I was like, we could sit at this one, but maybe let's look for another one. So we did, ended up not staying at that one, but we went to the Friday night New Vista, which I'm actually secretary of right now. That's in Mayhew, Friday night, 7 p.m. And, and it was awesome, you know? So my first, you know, it was just like one of those moments where you just have this idea of like, cause if you ever see like any kind of 12 step stuff on TV, they just make it look weird and it is kind of weird, but it's also like fun and funny. People are laughing, you know, the speaker was great and hilarious. And you're like, you don't know what's going on. Cause it was like my first meeting. So this young person came up and was like, hey, you need to get a sponsor. And I'm like, dude, what is that? So, but I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. You know, so we'll do it. And, so I got a sponsor and then, right away started working out of the book, with my sponsor. And, we would go to like a noon meeting and just kind of work throughout the book and then go to the meeting. And it was a really good situation. And then, you know, I'm like, at that point, I'm like having to get a job. And so I've never had like a real legit job. You know, I'm 23 with like no work experience. Like I went to try to like sign up to be like a crossing guard, you know, like I was like at an interview to be a crossing guard. And, they were like, yeah, like you don't have any references, dude. Like you can't. And I'm like, oh, all right, cool. So that was a failure. And then I remember I went trying to like do, like work at like some Costco style place they were building. And, it was like, I'm like, yeah, I'll be a handyman, even though I'm not handy and I don't know what I'm doing. So, luckily they didn't hire me there. But this is like all in sobriety, you know, I had to learn. And, I finally got a job working as a custodian and it was like, I'm super grateful for that. Like, it was like one of the best opportunities ever. Cause I just was able to work kind of more part-time ish. I was able to kind of make some hours that were better for me. And I was able to go back to school. I went back to college, got my bachelor's, at SF State, for broadcast communications, which is radio, which is, I love, I have a passion for, but I also had to like do like janitorial stuff, which was like really like, you know, for me was just, I don't know, just, I'm like super grateful because I just had to start from like, you know, just start, you know, a lot of people want to start at the top, you know, and that's probably where I, you know, wanted to do too, you know, and not saying that that's not, but it's a hard job, you know, and it's work. And just, you know, I'm just grateful for that. I'm grateful to be able to like work, learn in sobriety, how to work hard and learn how to like, this is what you got to do. But then also at the same time, I was able to like go to school and also get my bachelor's degree. And it just, it's crazy because coming from like a kid that couldn't even, you know, go to school, like wouldn't go to school, getting expelled, couldn't even put his name on a piece of paper and being able to grow up and like get my degree is like insane to me. And just super grateful for that. And just having like, just, you know, just 12 step. I just love 12 step meetings. They really like, I think the biggest thing for me is that, like, I don't know. There was moments when I was going to school, when I was doing these really hard things. And then you want to quit. You don't want to do it. It gets scary. It gets hard. And then you have these people that are like, dude, we're not going to let you quit. You know, and that's really what 12 step to me, like, signifies in a big way is like, you're gonna do it, dude, because you got us. And so that was really big for me, you know. And I know my time's getting close here. How much? 2 minutes. Okay. And so that was major for me. And I'm just very grateful. And then that's what's crazy to me right now is like, now I like, you know, I when I went back to school, I went to DVC and then transferred to SSA from there. And I'm like, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I'm like, oh, I really like radio. Like, that's great. And you know, that was kind of, you kind of just go in, for me, I went into it and I was like, not expecting really, I didn't know what to expect. You're kind of like, that'd be cool to do, but that sounds kind of crazy. And that's what I ended up doing. You know, I ended up getting into radio and I'm on like a morning show and I talk and play music and do all that stuff. That's like pretty cool. You know, that, that I loved, you know, when I was younger. And, so yeah, if that's the one thing I could say, it's just that, like, that's what 12 step has done for me, like 12 step meetings and taking the steps and just that whole thing of, you know, being of service. It just taught me how to function in like my, like at a job, you know, for people to trust me, to earn trust and to be able to move forward there. It earned my trust back with my family and I was able to move forward there. And it just, it just gave me like just so many opportunities that I would have never had. And, you know, before like going to 12 step meetings and getting sober, it was just, I really just was like the best case scenario for me in my mind was like to not die and to just be able to like find like the most basic job that I could just do the least hours and just live and drink. Like, that was my whole goal. And to be able to, you know, be in radio and I'm still trying to find my spot here. Cause I'm still, you know, in a weird spot. I've kind of like, I got a good area, like a good thing going on. I'm a producer of a morning show but I eventually want my own show. But then, you know, it's like, all the voices in my head of, oh, you're not good enough. You can't do it. You know, it's like, it's, I always got to fight with that every single day. Like the fears and the stuff I've had, you know, before sobriety is still there. So, but, I'm going to keep on pushing forward. And, you know, I probably didn't say anything that I thought I was going to say tonight. So that's usually how it goes. And, I just want to thank you guys for, having me here to be of service. So thank you.